So we'll continue with our series. I would like you to please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter number 7. Excuse me. And I'm going to read just two verses, verse number 13 and 14. Matthew chapter number 7, I'll read from verse 13 to verse number 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I would like to read the Good News translation right from the very outset. The Good News translation of the same passage says, "Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy. And there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard. And there are few people who find it." I would like to read that again, because we now have the opportunity of reading and coming back to this particular translation. I just wanted to make some impact in your heart. Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard. And there are few people who find it. Church, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm convinced you have a very important message to pass across to us this day, individually and collectively as a church. And that is why, Lord, I'm asking that you will give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart this morning. Your message to us today is not one that we can just gloss over. It is someone that is so close to your heart. And therefore, Lord, I ask that you will help us to fully concentrate on your word this morning, far away from all kinds of distractions of mind. I ask that you anoint me afresh to be able to deliver your word in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let your word drop as rain this morning, and let it distill as the dew. Let it encourage us. Let it empower us. Let it enlighten us. Let it challenge us. Let it direct. Let it correct. Let it reprove. Wherever it's required, O Lord, so that at the end of this time together in your word, we'll have a testimony that we have been blessed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. All right, amen means you are agreeing with the prayer I've just prayed, okay? You know, crowd management is becoming more of a science, you know, lately. Wherever you go to places where the crowd needs to be controlled, you know, there are mechanisms that is, you know, put in place to ensure that there is a smooth movement of the crowd. And one of the things that you will come across, especially when you go into places where crowd control needs to be, you know, effected, is, you know, this retractable barrier, you know, some people call it the retractable queue barrier. It is for crowd control and crowd management. And what it does is that it creates, you know, entrance to control the crowd. So there is an entrance and there is an exit. But you must find the right entrance so that you can come out through the right exit. You know, some years back, I came in from an international engagement and I came into Australia. And so when I got into the airport, I went straight into where you're going to get your things sorted so that I can come out, you know, and unite with my family. There was the retractable barriers put in there. And you know the way it is, you know. In just a split second, if they move those things somehow, the whole direction of your movement will change. So for whatever reason, I got into this place and they had already moved, you know, the retractable barrier in certain direction. There were so many people ahead, so it was a fairly long queue. Because it was a fairly long queue, I just assumed it was going to be the right queue, you know, so I joined the queue. Shortly after I joined the queue, just a bit of a distance from me, there I saw another queue, but it was a very small queue. I mean, it was a smaller one, far smaller than the one I joined. I felt those guys don't know what they're doing, you know. I mean, if you knew what you were doing, you would be with this queue. I looked in front of me, and shortly, I mean, the queue was long, and behind me, the queue was already building up. So I was comfortable, and I was, you know, convinced I was in the right line. The people looked educated, they looked smart, you know. They looked like they knew what they were doing, you know. And you know, they were, you know, Aussie folks, you know, no worries, hi mate, you know. So I was convinced I was with the right folks. After a while, it took a while before I got to the end of the queue. When I got to the end of the queue, I realized I'd made a mistake. I had joined the wrong queue. Because I entered through the wrong entrance. And I had to come out through this other side. At a point in time, I felt I might have been in the wrong queue, but I had progressed so far, close to the front, that I felt, oh, it was pointless to go back. And you know, those guys don't want you to just jump over the, you know, the barrier, you know, especially as a pastor, you can't just be doing such things like that, you know. anyway, to cut a long story short, it wasted my time, but I was able to come out through the other side. I joined the wrong gate, or I came in through the wrong entrance. I joined the wrong crowd or the wrong group. But fortunately, in this instance, I was able to come out to the right destination. Now, the subject before us this morning is quite very different because it does not just talk about wasting time. It talks about a wasted life. In this particular instance, Jesus is about to talk about something that is so important. In the example I've just narrated, the story I've just narrated, I wasted my time. But the particular instance that Jesus is going to be talking to us about this morning is talking about a wasted life. It's a life and death situation. Can you imagine for a second if before I joined the queue, I had been told that the queue that you're going to join will determine whether you're going to make it out here alive or dead? You know, I would have been a lot more circumspect about the queue I was going to join. But I was a bit careless because I knew that worst case scenario, it was just going to lead to a waste of time. But the one that Jesus is about to talk to us this morning is a life or death situation. If you come in through the wrong entrance, you will join the wrong queue, you have a wrong experience, and then you're going to come out into the wrong destination. If you're joining us for the first time, we have been in a series that we've titled Christ and Choices. And basically what we've been talking about is that our choices actually matter. And that we're where we are today, largely because of the choices that we have made in years past. And that where we're going to end tomorrow and in eternity by extension is going to be a function of the choices that we're making today. Now, Jesus is here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. This is perhaps the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. It's often called the Sermon on the Mount. It actually starts from chapter number 5, where Jesus began to talk about a series of things, a couple of things, until it culminates into chapter number 7. By the time you get to chapter number 7, you will see that Jesus talked about various options, two options actually, at various levels. He talks about the two gates in verse number 13 and 14. We've just read that. He talks about the two trees in verse number 15 to verse 19. He talks about two confessions in verse number 21 and 23 to 23. And then he talks about the two builders, verse number 24 to 27. Now, we're going to just focus on the first one, which talks about, you know, the two gates. And I've titled this message, The Narrow Gate Experience. The Narrow Gate Experience. One truth everyone here needs to realize right from the very outset is that we are all on a journey. Every one of us present here today, we are on a journey. And the same applies to any person that you're going to meet in the world. Life is a journey. And the fact that you are alive means you are on one. You don't have to enlist yourself in one. You are already on a journey. Now, Jesus identifies two groups in this journey, walking two roads or two paths, which leads to two different destinations, all because they entered through two different gates. The groups that you join, the experience that you have, and the destination that you arrive in is a function of all of these things, is a function of the gate through which you have entered. So the gate indeed makes the difference. The gate makes the difference. This is the sad reality. There are many people who are on this journey, who are hoping that they are going to arrive at a particular destination, but the destination that they are hoping to arrive at is actually different to the one that the road that they are on leads to. That's the sad reality. Now, another thing that you need to understand about this journey, this is a metaphorical description of our life, is that you cannot port in the middle of, you know, the journey. In other words, you can't just realize, okay, I'm in the wrong journey, and just, oh, those guys that looks to be in the right place, you know. I'm on the wrong road, so let me just port. You know, let me just, you know, like some people will do, let me just shunt. You know, they call it shunting. You just, you know, just barge your way in there and say, oh, what's happening? No, what's going on, you know, and then you just stay in there. No, you can't do that. For you to get back into the right road, you need to go back to the gate. There is only one gate. You can't jump the fence. You can't break the wall. You have to go back to the gate. The gate that you come in will obviously determine your experience, the quality of your co-travelers, the type of people that you travel with, as well as the destination that you go to. And this is so key, so important. Now, you know, it amazes me how Jesus captures so much with so little words. Two verses captures the entirety of our human existence on this side of eternity. Two verses. It gives a vivid description of our life experience in totality. Now, the question I would like to ask this morning is, did you come in through the right gate? Did you choose the correct gate to come into the journey of your life? You know, as a child, I came across this particular verse. You know, I believe in one of those Sunday school experiences that, you know, that we had as a little child. And I was like, God, why will you reveal the answer, you know, right away? Because now that you have told us that when you get to heaven, make sure you choose the narrow path, the narrow gate. I will just get there. I will make sure, because I now know which one leads to heaven, which one leads to life. I won't follow those guys, you know. I will just follow this narrow path, because you've already said it beforehand. Now, in my, you know, mind as a child, I thought that you're going to make the choice when you, after you have died, after death. That's when you're going to make the choice, and then you open your eyes, and then you see this narrow gate. And then you see this big way. And then you remember your Sunday school teacher says, make sure you go through the narrow gate. And then you make sure you just go through the narrow gate. And then at the end of his year, hallelujah. That was as a child. But as I began to understand life, I discovered that no, the experience is not going to be then, it's going to be now. The group that you're going to join is now. The experience is now. The narrow path is now. The wide gate is now, you know, and that will determine the destination. Now, one thing you need to know about all of this is this. The good thing is at any point of the journey, you can make a decision to go to the right gate. For instance, if you notice at any point in the journey that you are on the wrong road, you can stop and go back to the beginning and go in through the right gate. But the sad reality is that once you get into the destination, you cannot make the decision to go back to the gate. At any point in the journey of life, you can always go back to the gate, to the right gate. But once you make it to the destination, no way to go back. So the choice should be made right now before we get to the destination. You know, in Luke chapter 16, there is a story that Jesus actually tells there, and it's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And the Lazarus died, the rich man died, they got so... you know, they had different experience. Lazarus found himself in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man found himself in hell. And part of the conversation was that the rich man said, look, I know that I'm done for here, you know, but I have five brothers, and I don't want them to have the same experience. I'm talking from Luke chapter 16. Will you please send Lazarus back to go and tell my brothers, so that they will know where I am and make the right choice. Now, that tells me something. Once you make it to that destination, especially that unfortunate destination, you can't go back to make it right. And so the choice to make it right must be made right now while we're still in the journey of life. While we're still in the journey of life. It tells us two destinations. It says there is one that leads to destruction, and there is one that leads to life or eternal life. You know, the Good News Translation says there is one that leads to hell, and there is one that leads to eternal life. Now, the question I want to ask you, people of God, is this. How then do you know that you are on the road to destruction? How do you know that you are on this road, on the road to destruction? And the reason why I'm asking that is because far many people don't actually want to experience that destination called destruction or hell. But their problem is right now they really don't even have a clue that they are on that road that leads there. So how then do you know? And the Bible helps us. The word of Jesus actually helps us very well. Let's go back to the passage again in verse number 13 of Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Listen to this. And there are many who go in it. The first thing I want to mention to you, people of God, is that this road that leads to destruction is crowded. It is crowded. In other words, there are many people there. Translation, It's a very popular road. It's acceptable to all. It is crowded. There are many people there. It's acceptable to all. The lifestyle that people live, your friends, many of your friends will love it. It means family members don't have any problem with this lifestyle. Your colleagues at work, your classmates, your clubmates, they all love this lifestyle because it's a very popular one. It's a very popular, everyone accepts that it's a very popular one. The question you often ask yourself is, how can this many people be so wrong? You know, how can so many people be convinced of something and you're saying is quite wrong? It's simple, because it's a crowded road. It's a crowded road. It's a crowded path. It's a lifestyle that everyone endorses, everyone accepts. It fits into what is generally acceptable. It's very popular, you know. And when your lifestyle is that, is the kind that everyone loves, everyone accepts, everyone applauds, you need to have a rethink. I hope I'm on the right road. Because more often than not, it is an indication that you might actually have entered through the wrong gate and you are on the wrong road. Because popularity does not necessarily make the wrong thing right. There are so many popular things that is wrong in the world. And in fact, the reason why they are popular is because many more people actually want that lifestyle, want that idea, want that they want that style of life. You know, we see the example variously in the scriptures. You know, Noah built an ark. It was to save the world. He only managed to save seven people, including himself, making eight. All of them the same family. Everyone thought he was crazy. So it is possible to have so many people who are trudging the same wrong road and to have few people who have chosen the right road. I'm saying that the lifestyle that is lived on this wrong road is a very popular one, and you are likely to have find many more people on this road. 10 out of 12 spies chose the wrong road. So the path to destruction is a crowded path. What I'm saying, people of God, is this. If the crowd endorses your lifestyle, if your lifestyle is very popular, you need to check whether you are really on the right road. In fact, if people begin to tell you that I like your kind of Christianity, I like your own kind of Christianity, you know, the Christianity that is just going on its own, simple, no prayer, no, you know, no church, you know. I like your kind of Christianity. If they have told you that, don't be excited. You might just be on the wrong road. Why? Because if you had come through the right gate, you are likely to have few people around you. You are likely to have few people endorse what you think or what you say. Your outlook to life is likely to be unpopular because you have entered through the right gate, the narrow gate. You are likely to be described as the weird one. You know, when we talk about sex before marriage these days, and you begin to say, oh, yeah, that's not of God, people look at you as the weird one. That's the kind of pressure our teenagers are facing today. It's not something that you boldly can say amidst their peers. They can say amidst their peers, I'm a virgin. Why? Because you're the weird one. It's unpopular. It's strange. You mean in 2022? Come on. What's going on with you? Do you need to see a doctor? Why? Because that road is unpopular. That path, there are only few people that tread there. So I'm saying, people of God, if your pathway is crowded, if your lifestyle is popular, it might just be an indication that you are on the wrong road, people of God. You know how unpopular it is for the gathering of the saints today? Very unpopular. People just think, no, you don't need to gather with the people of God. You don't need to You know, your heart is your God. Your God is your heart. You know, your heart and God are the same. You know, just stay on your path. You know, it's a very lonely road, because there are few people who go there. Now, I'm sure you're probably wondering, so if it leads to death, if this path, this broad road leads to death, why is it that is then this crowded? Why is the path that leads to destruction this crowded? Why are there so many people on this road that leads to destruction? That's a brilliant question. You know why? Because the sign at the entrance doesn't say way to hell. The post that you see at the gate does not say enter destruction with ease. It doesn't say that. You know what it says? Enter eternal life or enter heaven in the company of your friends. Enter eternal life or heaven in the company of the people in your neighborhood. And then you feel, oh, it's cool. So I can go with my friends, with my family through this path. So the sign says heaven, but the hand is hell. There is a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says, but the hand thereof is death. It is a crowded road, Jesus said. But it's not just a crowded road, it is a comfortable road. Look at what the Bible says in verse 13 again. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way. That word broad, it means it's roomy. There is a lot of space, you know. The Good News Translation say easy. It's easy. It's a road that you can be and all things go. It's spacious, you know. It allows you to do anything. It allows you to say anything. It allows you to behave anyhow. It allows for all of your indulgences. It allows you to act in whatever manner. It is an easy road. It is a comfortable road. It is comfy, you know, comfy, very comfortable road. Comfortable Christian lifestyle. You know what we call it? We call it freedom. You know, it's freedom. You can do whatever. You are free to wear anything. You are free to appear anyhow. There are no rules here. You know, it's a easy lifestyle. It's a easy Christian life. You know, we just sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on it to make it, you know, to make it holy. You know, that's how the road is so wide. But the Bible says it leads to death. It leads to destruction. Yeah, it's comfortable. It's free. It promises freedom. It is roomy. It is easy. It allows you to do anything. It allows you to say anything. It allows you to go anywhere. But it's the road. It's a broad road that leads to destruction. Like I said, we call it freedom. You know, but that's not the kind of freedom that God has called us into. The freedom that God has called us into is not the freedom to do anything. It's not the freedom to act anyhow. It's when you say we are free as believers, it means we have been delivered from the power of sin. We have been delivered from sin being a ruler over us, dictating the pace of our lives. That's the kind of freedom that God has called us into. If the Son has set you free, John chapter number 8, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. John chapter number 8. I want you to turn there. John chapter number 8 and from verse number 34. John chapter number 8. Look at it from verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So the freedom that we're talking about is the freedom from sin. Sin shall no longer, the Bible says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. It's not the freedom to do anything, act anyhow, say anything, and think you are still on your way to heaven. It's the freedom from the power of sin, from the dominion of sin. And so if your lifestyle is such that it allows you to do anything, act anyhow, say anything, involve yourself in all of kinds of your indulgence, chances are that you might have probably entered through the wrong gate. And so it is important. Because if you were on the right, if you had come in through the right gate, the Bible describes, this is how the Bible describes what your experience will look like. And I'm sure you're probably not going to like what it says, but that's the truth. In Matthew chapter number 7, look at what it says again in verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Listen to verse 14. Because narrow is the gate. And what? I want you to say it loud, please. Some of you are even afraid to say it. Difficult is the way which leads to life. I hope you know I've not written this. Difficult is the way that leads to life. Now, by the way, just before you start, shivering, that word difficult, the original Greek actually called it libo, which means to compress or to press. It's a description of saying like restricted is the road. Restricted is the road that leads to life. It's pressed, it's compressed. You don't do it anyhow. There is a boundary around you that leads you to life. No, the easiest way to think about it is to think about the birth canal when the baby wants to come, passing through the birth canal. There is a restriction around the baby. And that baby is brought forth through the canal into life. The baby cannot just do like this anyhow. It's not going to come out. In fact, that's why some babies are stuck there, because they get like this, And I'm not making that up. In obstetrics, some of the things that they taught us is, the baby, he needs to assume what we call a fetal position to come out well. What does that mean? The head down, the hands in the hand, the knees almost, packaged like, like sardine, That's the way to come out. Why? Because there are rules around it. There are guidelines around it. There is a boundary around it. So it's restricted by it. That's the way to come out to life. That's the way to come out to life. So if you find the road crowded, or if you find it easy, anything goes. Check it. You might not have come in through the right gate. Number one, the way to know or to check whether you have come in through the right gate is it crowded? Number two, is it easy? Is it comfortable? And I'm not suggesting here that your life needs to be a hard life, and that's why I've explained it. It means that there is a guide, there is a guideline, there is a boundary around it. It's restricted. There is a place you get to, and if you go beyond that, you are going in beyond the boundary. The path to life is not boundless. It has boundaries, set boundaries, within which you must function. And that's why we have the Word of God, because it's what provides that boundary. You've probably come across Christians who just think that what all it takes to make it to life or to eternal life is to say Jesus. Can you say Jesus? Yes, I can say Jesus. Oh, yeah. Welcome to heaven. No. There is a guideline on the road that gets you there. And if you want to make it to the end, you must stay within that boundary. It's a restricted road. It's not a wide road. It's a restricted road. It is crowded. It is comfortable. And let's talk about the gate, finally. The gate is come in on your own terms. When you're going to get into this road that leads to destruction, the gate is the type that says, come in your own terms. In other words, you determine how you come in. And that's why people bring in all kinds of things to come in through this gate. The Bible says the gate is wide. The road is broad. The wide gate allows people to bring in all kinds of things. And some of the things that people bring in to enter through the gate is their morality, religiosity. I fast, I pray, I give alms. You know, my family actually has a Christian background. In fact, the last pope happened to be a family friend to my father. Those are the things that people bring in. They bring in all of their own credits to enter through the gate because the gate is wide. They bring in their self-importance, their pride, their self-righteousness. And the reason why they bring in those things is because they think that something must come from them for them to be allowed through that gate. And they're right, partly, that something is required of them. But what they have failed to recognize is that what is required of them is not what they can supply. It's not what they can supply. So they are coming in on the basis of on their own terms. They are bringing in their own credit. I'm sure for some of us that have, done some, studies, especially at the higher level in the university and diploma and all of those things, higher institution, you know that when you are coming in, sometimes they ask you, do you have some credits that you want to bring in? And so that's why some of us, that's the way some people, they think that they need some credits, to bring in order to be able to get entrance into that gate. You come in on your own terms. They determine to bring those things in. It's never requested or required from them. What they are not aware of is that those things that they are bringing in are the very things that actually precludes them from coming in. The self-righteousness, the sense of pride, the sense of self-importance. And that's exactly why Jesus was mad with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you study the scriptures, you discover that Jesus was never, was never at any loggerhead with sinners. The people that he had problems with were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they thought that they had some credit that they wanted to bring in. So they wanted to enter into life on their own terms, based on their own record, their own achievements, not on divine accomplishment. And so when you get to that gate, you bring in your credit and then you are allowed in. But Jesus is saying, no, that's the wrong gate. No wonder you have joined the wrong crowd and you are having the wrong experience. And I can tell you, you're going to enter, or the destination is going to be far away from eternal life. In fact, it promises to end in eternal damnation. And so, people of God, we need to check which gate we have come into the journey through. Because at the gate, the right gate, the Bible calls it the narrow gate. And at the narrow gate, it doesn't want you to bring in any of these credits, because those credits actually discredit you from coming in, if that makes sense. You don't come in on your own terms. You don't bring in your own things. You're stripped naked to pass through that gate. You can't bring in anything through that gate. At that gate, it only offers you one thing. What is that? Grace. That gate, Jesus only offers you one thing. Grace. It lets you know right from at the gate that the destination that you are going to, you cannot earn it. In fact, you don't deserve it. And you can never repay it. That's what grace is all about. And so you're coming not on the basis of your righteousness, not on the basis of your self-righteousness or accomplishment, but you're coming on the basis of the accomplishment of Christ. He's offering you grace. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. What does it say? For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, not of credits, not of self-importance, lest any man should boast. So this is what happens. You come in to that narrow gate. You're stripped completely naked. You don't have anything that you're bringing in through that gate. Because any other thing that you're holding becomes like a load. It does not allow you to come in through that gate. If you try to bring it in, it stops you from bringing it, coming into that gate. You know, it reminds me of the story of that I read several years, some time ago. This particular tribe, they have a way of, you know, catching monkeys, you know. So they have this small vessel with a narrow entrance, and they're just going to put some kernels into that vessel. So when the monkey will come, the monkey will dip his hand into the vessel. It will hold the kernel. And then when he holds the kernel, he's not able to bring out his hand with the kernel. Now, but the stupid monkey doesn't realize that all he needs to do is to drop the kernel so that his hands can come out. Because the entrance has been made such that you cannot bring anything through it. But you can take in your hand can go in, the monkey's hand can go in into it. That's exactly the way God has designed salvation. You can't bring anything into it. Every other thing becomes like an impediment. So when you come into the gate, he hands over grace unto you. You receive that grace by faith. Why? Because Jesus is indeed this narrow gate that we're talking about. John chapter number 10, verse 9. This is what the Bible says regarding the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. In other words, I am that entrance. Jesus is that entrance. So you come in through that entrance. And when you get coming into that entrance, you enter into the way. This is Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6. The Bible describes Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this is what happens. Jesus is that door, that gate, that entrance. You come in through that. He hands over grace to you. You and I will receive that grace by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in what he has done for us. Faith in the fact that he died for my sin and for your sin. So we receive that salvation by faith. It ushers us into the way. Jesus calls himself the way. While we're in that way, he guides us with his truth. He guides us with his truth on that way, so that we are going to be guided by these, you know, boundaries. There is a boundary of truth. And then we're guided by it into life. I am the way. I guide you by the truth in order to lead you to life. But it's a very narrow gate. You can't bring in all kinds of things there. Has anyone spoken to you and they tell you as a believer, why are you guys so narrow-minded? They are very right. Why? Because the gate that we come in through is a very narrow gate. And then we come into this space, and it's a very constricted, restricted path, but it leads to life. Truth is by itself, by its true definition, is narrow. It doesn't accommodate all kinds of things, otherwise truth does not become truth. You know, for instance, 2 plus 2 is 4. And when it's 4, it excludes all other numbers. It excludes 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You want me to continue? It excludes all of these other numbers. Why? Because it's just 4. And that's why you and I, when we are accused of being narrow-minded, we shouldn't take it as, you know, anything, you know, too serious, because the gate that we come in through is a very narrow one. It's restricted. The way is restricted. We're guided by the truth into life. Now, this is where it all comes together, people of God. What Jesus has presented to us is that there are two gates. Those gates lead to two ways or two paths. In the path, you have two groups. And those two groups, at their exit point, they lead to two different destinations. And it's asking you to make a choice. But the beauty of this is this. Jesus is not just leaving it to you to make that choice. He actually tells you exactly the choice, the option that you should make. Look at what it says in verse 13 again. In fact, it goes beyond an advice. It becomes like a command. Enter by the narrow gate. Now, before Jesus will tell you about the other gate, it tells you, this is the one I want you to enter through. And it's not asking you to think about entering. It's not asking you to admire the gate or look at the gate, you know, or camp around the gate or be happy with others as they go through the gate or begin to talk about the gate or begin to, you know, admire the beauty of this small gate. How nice is this narrow gate? No. Say, enter. Enter. What does that mean? It means accept the grace that I have offered to you. Hold on to it. You receive it by faith. I bring it into this narrow road where I'm going to guide you with the truth in order to come to the desired destination called life. The eternal life has two manifestations. The experience of the eternal life has two manifestations, and I round up with this. The first thing is that you have a life of victory over sin here and now. You have a life of victory over sin and the devil here and now. And then in eternity, you'll be with God. I'm asking you, people of God, to come through this narrow gate. The question is, from your experience, you will have been able to decipher whether you are actually in this path. The good news is, as long as we have not reached the destination, we can always go back to the right gate. And that's why I'm going to be asking you, perhaps you are here, you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a believer, but your experience does not seem to be reflecting the description that we have just made this morning. Your experience is that of a crowded path. Your experience is that of a popular path. You know, your experience, like we have described this morning, is that of an easy path, comfortable, all things go, you know, on your own terms kind of experience. I'm going to be asking you to please go back to the gate. And coming through this gate, we call it rededication. Yes, maybe you had at one time, you know, given your heart to Jesus, but right now you are reflecting on your life and you think it doesn't seem to tally with the kind of life Jesus actually describes in this passage. You can rededicate your life to Jesus. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to lead you, you know, in a short prayer, both people, the people that are here and the people that are online joining us. And thereafter, we're going to have this beautiful, beautiful communion together. Let us pray.